The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the show, send your emails to td@kpcg.fm. Well, anytime we push up to the end of a semester, as I was telling our students yesterday, it's always a good time to look back on the semester that was and also to look ahead. To look back and see the growth and the development in God's work, in our individual lives, and to also look forward and to think about where we need to be a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. You look at some of the stats from this past year. Well, as you know, if you followed this radio program, we only started in May of this year, so it's been just 7 months or so. And then just looking at some of the SoundCloud plays from last week, I think there was one program, one of the two on Donald Trump and some of the other subjects we covered that particular day. I think it's up to 1,500 or so plays. And many of our programs are routinely now getting about 1,000 listens. That's in addition to those listening live or those listening to a replay or those that tune in on the TuneIn app. I noticed that this morning. That's up to 560 subscribers, I think. Then you look at some of the videos that we're producing. We've talked a lot the last couple of weeks about the Hezekiah Bulla video, that 10-minute documentary that we produced 2 weeks ago. It's up to 196,000 views on the YouTube channel. Probably in the next day or two, it's going to be the most viewed program on the Trumpet Daily channel. And soon, I suspect, it'll be the most viewed video that the PCG's ever produced. We just completed the Hebrew version, by the way. You can see that. Well, you probably don't understand Hebrew, most of you, but if you'd like to go see that at the Trumpet Daily YouTube channel, you can also listen to the narrator. That's Ariel, Dr. Mazar's assistant, who's worked on several of the excavations over the years. In any event, she was really excited, Dr. Mazar was, to get this this video done so that hopefully it could circulate around the Israeli press, the Israeli websites. And as I just said, the mileage that we've gotten out of it, as far as the English version goes, it's just been tremendous. Dr. Mazar sent us a note yesterday, by the way. She said, working with you, speaking of me and Jesse Hester, who helped to put the video together, she said, working with you was the best part of it all. We make an excellent, experienced team for these kinds of short features. And then she said this, we are surely trained enough to welcome the next great find. So she's anxious to find another one or find something else. And she's ready for us to feature that online, to produce yet another video. I believe my father's Key of David, by the way, the one that gets posted tomorrow that plays this weekend, it's also on that Hezekiah Bulla, and we'll have more to say about it. In fact, I just completed a program yesterday that'll play early in January here in the UK that talks more, not so much about the Bulla, but just about the life of Hezekiah and some of the lessons that we can take away from his life. We'll look even more at that on today's program here. First, though, I just want to go through a few of the letters that we've received. These aren't emails in response to the radio program specifically, but more general letters that have come in to the office at Edstone. Individuals that are out there in this region, in the UK, in Northern Ireland, in Ireland. Sometimes we get letters from the European continent as well, from the Mediterranean area. In any event, these are individuals that are out there reading the trumpet each month or going through our booklets, the correspondence course. This first one here from Derbyshire says, having recently come across the July 2013 copy of your magazine, I would be grateful if you would put me on your mailing list. From around 1987 to 1991, I was a member of the Worldwide Church of God. It then appeared to fragment, and I've been in several different churches since then. My main interest has always been prophecy. Another one from here in the UK says, I would be grateful if you'd send me the United States and Britain in prophecy. We've really enjoyed Mystery of the Ages. This next one from Northern Ireland. Congratulations on your new college campus at Edstone. Thank you for the work that you and your staff are doing, giving a warning of what's to come for this present evil world and giving us hope for the world to come under the rule of Jesus Christ and his chosen saints. Thank you again for the work the church is doing, and may the work be strengthened in the days to come. This next one from Lincolnshire. It says, I do seem to feel a sense of urgency and wish to learn as much as possible. I'm finding your material invaluable, either studied alone or in conjunction with my Bible. It has provided me with the information that I so sorely missed and have been searching for. So thank you for unveiling the mystery and revealing the truth. I pray our Lord will continue to keep you strong in his work. And then he expresses thanks at the end for the correspondence course. And then this last one here from over in Ireland. He writes, I've been slowly reading the book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy by Brad MacDonald. It was the best book I have ever read. Easy to understand how it was put together, the maps. I've read a book about the Roman Empire about 40 years ago. I got lost in the detail, but this one was able to make sense of the world we live in today. That's someone who's just thoroughly enjoyed Brad MacDonald's new book, The Holy Roman Empire in Prophecy. If you don't have a copy of that, make sure that you get one at thetrumpet.com, because he's right. It really does put it all together in a very plain, straightforward manner. It's a powerful booklet, a strong message. And we need to really lock into these messages that God gives to us, because there's so much in the way of noise and distraction. We've talked about that often on this program. I saw this story this morning from, I think it was on the Drudge Report. In any event, it's from the Entertainment Weekly website, which says that in 2015, there's a record number of scripted TV shows that have been produced. It says if you feel like there's an overwhelming number of TV series options, there's a good reason for that. FX has calculated that in 2015, networks and streaming services, I mean, you've got TV, you've got cable, now you have these streaming services. More and more people are resorting to TV viewing online. But in 2015, this article says, networks and streaming services had a record 409 dramas, comedies, and limited series. And that's not even including unscripted shows or TV movies. Digging into data, the number of scripted series this year was up 9% over 2014 and has doubled since 2009. It's doubled. It talks about how the network ratings are on the decline. And I suppose that's just because there's so many options There's so many channels. There's so many networks. There's so many stations. And as this article brings out, programs being produced each year by the hundreds, it says the unprecedented increase in the number of scripted series has reached a new milestone in 2015 with a record 409, nearly doubling the total in just the past 6 years. That's 6 years. I mean, you talk about a lot of noise. It says this was the third consecutive year that scripted series count has grown across each distribution platform, broadcast, basic, and pay cable, streaming. It's led by significant gains in basic cable, digital services. This statistic, it's quoting, I think, a network or an executive vice president. But it says here at the end, this statistic is staggering and almost unimaginable from where we were a decade ago. So much noise. Let me just take you through one parable in particular. I alluded to this yesterday when talking to the students here at Armstrong College. The fact that as seeds, we really need to find fertile ground and take root so that we can grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and produce fruit. Here in Matthew 13, Jesus Christ says here, verse 18, "Hear you, therefore, the parable of the sower." Hear this parable. Understand its meaning. It says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." We're picking it up in the middle of the thoughts here. This is actually after Jesus gave the parable, and here he's given the meaning to his disciples. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet has he not root in himself, but does for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." That's the ones that fall upon stony ground, stony places, as Jesus said. And then verse 22, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word." Here's one who hears the word, but it says, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." The cares of this world can choke God right out of our lives. Choke the word, and we can become unfruitful and not produce. That's what so many of these physical things and distractions can do. They can prevent us from being fruitful. They can choke God's word right out of our existence. That's why we really have to lock in to God's broadcast. That's why we have to tune in to God's message. That's why we have to avoid, as best we can, these many distractions. These are powerful mediums. This is technology today. You don't need me to go on and on about how advanced it is. But it really does work against us in so many ways. We have to be extremely careful. Verse 23, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Here is an individual who is producing, who's bearing fruit. That's the way you need to be. That's the way I need to be. Finding that good ground, hearing the word of God, understanding God's truth, bearing fruit, using the truth. It takes diligence. It takes the hand of God. It takes a miracle from God. Look over at 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. Verse 14, Paul here says to the brethren at Corinth, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be careful. Be careful about what you associate with. Too many times it's easy to feel like we can have it both ways, that we can obey God's law and at the same time obey the law of sin. We can't have it both ways, though. It's one or the other. He says in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, says the Eternal, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." We have to come out of this world and stay clean and stay pure. And if we do, God will receive us, verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Eternal. Sons and daughters, children of God. This is something that we have to use daily. I've gone through this example a number of times in the last couple of weeks here on the radio and in college classes. Hezekiah's example there in 2 Chronicles 29, where he came in and made all those reforms and really stood up to a priesthood that had drifted far from God and got rid of all of the idols and set up the temple of God for proper worship. 2 Chronicles 29 and 11, verse 11 says, "My sons, be not now negligent." Don't be negligent, you priests. Don't be negligent, you Levites. Don't get careless or lazy with this truth. When it comes to your spiritual life, make sure that you are producing. Make sure that you're growing. Make sure that you stay excited about God's work. Make sure you're excited about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Be very aware of the weighty responsibilities that rest on our shoulders. God has chosen you. And what a magnificent honor it is to serve in His work. Don't be negligent with a calling such as this. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma, our headquarters campus. The live stream makes this available to you anywhere around the world. So long as you have internet access, you can get that stream at kpcg.fm or at the trumpet.com website. Don't forget to send us your emails. Email us at td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. For 6,000 years, humanity has been going the way of pride and vanity, selfishness and greed. Human beings have been filled with self-gratification, jealousy, envy, resentment toward others, a spirit of rebellion against authority, and hostility toward God and God's laws. The true Christian must overcome these tendencies through a process known as conversion. For much more on this subject, request the free booklet, "Just What Do You Mean? Conversion." Being converted is not an initiation into a secret club or society. It is not a rite or ceremony. It is a matter of turning away from the way of vanity and selfishness to a new and true way of life in Christ Jesus, living by every word of God, in and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
I meant to mention earlier that in addition to all of the positive coverage that we've gotten for that video on the Hezekiah Bullah, there was also this piece posted at the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs. This is on the Israeli government website, and it's taken most of the content from Dr. Mazar's press release. But then right at the end, again, very prominently displayed, is our video embedded right there on a government website. The Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It says there on the site, the symbols on the seal impression from the Ophel suggest that they were made late in his life. Speaking of that bullah, that the seal or the signet was made late in his life. It quotes Dr. Mazar, although seal impressions bearing King Hezekiah's name have already been known from the antiquities market since the middle 1990s, this is the first time that a seal impression of an Israelite or Judean king has ever come to light in a scientific archaeological excavation. We've talked about this before. In any event, it's a pretty amazing open door when you think about producing this video, working alongside Dr. Mazar, a find as impressive as this, and then to have the story told by this church and by Dr. Mazar, and then posted right there at the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We're going to write a little bit more about this in an article that we hope to post at thetrumpet.com. But just looking again at this example that Hezekiah set for us, before the break I mentioned how that he really admonished the priests and the Levites to not be negligent. And you can continue studying through that chapter, 2 Chronicles 29, and see how that it really did stir the entire nation, his leadership, his righteous leadership. But it says there that when the priests needed more help, the Levites came along and pitched in. And the Bible says the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And so God took note. He took note, even in the midst of all of this progress, all of this growth for the nation, for Jerusalem, for the temple activities, even within all of these positive developments, there were some taking it more seriously than others. There were some who were growing more than others. We're all being measured. God's evaluating all of us. Read Revelation 11 and verse 1, where it says, to measure the temple of God. God is measuring. And the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more specific and refined his measurement will be. Let's look at Psalm 103. And just take you through some very basic, fundamental scriptures, but important ones nonetheless. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago the December 7th anniversary and how meaningful that is, not only for the United States, because of what happened back in 1941, but also for this church. What started back in 1989, and here we are, 26 years on. Who would have thought, back when there was all that turmoil, with the Worldwide Church of God. After Herbert Armstrong died and the church just fell apart, that we'd be here today in 2015. Still, of course, anxiously waiting on the return of Christ, eagerly anticipating his return. And yet you reach that milestone and you look behind you and think, wow, where did these 26 years go? My father was, as I've said to the students here recently, at that time when the PCG started, he was just 9 years older than what I am right now. It all goes by so fast, which is why we have to really take root and spring forth and produce fruit. We can't get lost in the present and just assume that this present life is going to go on and on and on. Psalm 103. In verse 13, it says, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, it says, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. It's all so quick. All flesh is like grass, Peter said. It's just like a vapor. It's just like a puff of wind. Now you look at people in this world who are just consuming hours upon hours of television each day, or surfing the internet, or just being caught up in material things. So many of them see this life as the end-all be-all. I mean, this is all there is. And so it just makes people even more selfish. We read through 2 Timothy 3 yesterday. The spirit of this age. But we, as followers of Christ, we have to take a different approach, a different attitude. We view life in the flesh differently than those who haven't had their minds open to the truth yet. We also view death differently. Some have had to, some that I know very well, have had to deal with physical death in their family, fathers or mothers or loved ones. And it's never easy to just say goodbye, but it's made a lot easier knowing God's truth, knowing that we're going to see those individuals yet again and soon. God really wants to stir us with hope. God is eternal. He has inherent eternal life. And he wants to give it to you and me. He wants us to understand that this life is just a tiny, tiny, tiny foretaste. This life isn't even really real. It's just a puff of wind, as the scriptures bring out. It's just a blade of grass. And God intended for it from the very beginning to prepare us for real life. That's the whole purpose for our creation in the flesh. God's reproducing himself. And so he gives us this short temporary existence, this vapor, this blade of grass. He gives that to us so that we can be trained, so that we can prepare for real life. We have to have our minds on the future, like the proverb says, where there's no vision, the people perish. It's so easy to forget that future, to forget about that vision, because we look around and, well, all we see is this world, all we see is material things. And then you add to that Satan the devil and his powerful influence, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and Ephesians 2, getting so many people, even followers of Christ, to focus on this life, to get caught up in goods, rich and increased with goods, the Bible says about the Laodiceans, to get them thinking about physical things. Well, life's short, so we might as well enjoy it. We might as well selfishly go and try to get everything that we can. We've got to avoid that satanic thinking and see this short physical existence that we have. See it in perspective. God is measuring. And we've got to be of that same mindset and really measure the moments that we have. Really measure each day, each hour, each moment. Use the time, the short time that we have, to prepare for what's ahead, to prepare for what's coming. Isaiah 38. Let's just stay on this example with Hezekiah. He had to measure his moments. And, you know, you look at his life, Hezekiah, he had some ups and downs. He had some ups. He was going strong there at the start, cleaning up Judah. But then he also had his moments where he wasn't as close to God, where he wasn't as ready for his eternal future as he should have been. What about you? Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Christ? What if this physical existence, this short physical existence that we have, what if it was over tomorrow or next month or next year? Would you be ready for that? It's easy to just kind of joke that, well, God's not going to let me die. I have so much yet that I need to overcome and grow in. But we've got to be making ourselves ready every day. We've got to be using these moments, these hours that we have each day to grow, to build character. Isaiah 38 and verse 1, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus says the Eternal, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." This was 14 years into Hezekiah's reign. This was right at the same time that Sennacherib was bearing down on Jerusalem. I mean, these were some difficult trials, and he was still a young man. 14 years in, he started at 25, so he's 39 here. A young man, for the most part, young, middle-aged. 39 years old, and the prophet shows up and says, "You better set your house in order, because you're about to die. You better go and prepare for death, physical death." Now, you know the story here. Hezekiah really cried out to God for healing, and God intervened, and God extended his life 15 more years. And as it happens, he really made some pretty serious mistakes in that 15-year period. He turned it around at the very end. But just extending this life an extra year, an extra month, an extra whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to qualify for a greater reward in the kingdom of God. What matters is that we make the most of every day, every moment, every opportunity we have. Whether it's 1 year or whether it's 10 years or whether it's 40 years. Look at the Laodiceans. Look at that sad and tragic history. Let's look over at the Gospel of Luke. But look at the Laodiceans. Look at the Laodicean ministers. So many of them were into their 50s, 60s, as my father was when Herbert Armstrong died. But not very many of them remained faithful to God all the way to the end. That's what we signed up for. That's all part of counting the cost. To finish this course, to finish this race, no matter what happens along the way, and if our time is up physically, then we have a whole lot more to look forward to. This life is just a training ground. It's just a tiny little foretaste. Luke 12 and verse 15. It says here, "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." That's not what life is about. It's not about accumulating things. Verse 16, "And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." It's easy to think that way. That, oh, well, we've accumulated enough things here. We've grown a lot these many years, and now we can kind of sit back and coast. That's what Hezekiah did for a number of years. God intervened to extend his life, and he coasted for a time. It's easy to slip into that attitude. Verse 19, it says, "And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up." Well, I read that a moment ago. Verse 20 says, "But God said unto him, You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." See, people laying up treasures for themselves. That's what you see everywhere in the world today. That's what's happened to so many of God's people even. But if we're followers of Christ, we've got to think about being rich toward God, rich in faith, not laying up treasures for ourselves, but being rich in faith, rich in righteousness, in holiness. Maintain this perspective, God's perspective, with this temporary existence that we have. Verse 29, it says, "And seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather," verse 31, this is Luke 12, verse 31, "but rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Put the priority on God's kingdom. Be prepared for the kingdom of God. If we do that, well, God says that he'll look after those physical things. You can continue reading. Verse 32, it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Sell that you have and give alms, provide yourselves bags, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It does take some faith to give up things, to even give up this life, if we have to, for the sake of eternity. But it's worth it. That's understating it. Read what it says in Romans 8. Paul said it's not even worthy to be compared. Verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, it says, and you yourselves likened to men that wait for the eternal when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, verse 37, whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Blessed are individuals who are prepared and ready. That's what the Bible says about the bride of Christ. That when Jesus Christ returns, she will have been made ready. Anyone who's ever prepared for physical marriage, anyone who's gone through that, knows just how intense that process of preparation is in the final days leading up to the wedding. That's where we are right now today. Spiritually speaking, we're drawing so close to the return of Jesus Christ. And so we've got to measure the moments. We've got to measure the moments of our individual lives and do whatever is necessary to be absolutely ready for the return of Christ. Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth? Are you ready for the marriage to Jesus Christ? We've got to be found doing right up to the very end, right up to the day of his return or the day of our last physical breath, whichever comes first. And if we endure all the way through to the end, what a reward. What a reward. We've been given so much. God's given us all that we need, too. Every tool that we could imagine to get us prepared and ready for that blessed event. But there are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of pulls of the flesh. There is a lot of noise that we've got to try to block out so that we can focus in on the things of God. Set our minds on the things of God. Measure those moments and prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG, 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. Don't forget to send us your feedback, td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.